Gemara Gittin, Daf Samech. Today's Daf is being studied. The Anu Nishmat Muruzikin Yosef Ben Tzara Ben Adzikaneti Yafa Batzara Abraham Ben Esther Ruhashem Ten Yichem Begane Eder Amen. Today's Daf is being studied for Ashim Moshe Ben Tzara Moshe Ben Nasra Ruhama Batrachayim Esra Batrachayim Enna Nafal Nalem Fata Nefet Fata Gufa Fata Kribal Nurekim Yosef Ben Amen. We begin today's Daf on Nun Tet Amud Bet on the bottom line. Shalchu Le Bene Gilila Le Rabbi Helbo. So the people of Galil, Benegilila, they sent to Rabbi Chelbo and they asked, Acharehen mi korin. We learned in the Mishnah that the Hakamim established the situation where it's Kohen, Levi, Yisrael. That's the order that we send the people up to the Torah. We learned that the Kohen goes up from the Torah, min ha-Torah. So the Torah says, V'kiddashto, he's the first one called the Varim Shmikidusha. The rabbis instituted that he cannot be Mohel. He cannot come along and say, let's send somebody else up. That's what we're taking up the shalom, because we're worried that people are going to come to fight. Right. So that's in a regular day we understand, that you send up the Kohen, Levi, now you have Yisrael, the Yisrael's open. So it's understood that you send up the greatest person in the Kahal, who is the Yisrael. However, the question is now, we're talking about on Shabbatot, let's say. So now you have a lot of aliyot. It's not only one aliyah, Yisrael. You have Yisrael, Levi, Habishi, Shishi, etc. So what's the proper order to send up the following people? So that's what the Gemara says. Mikorin, the top Rashi, Kilomar, Tiknu Shum Seder, Liyasem Shabbatun, Shum Darkes Shalom, that they establish a certain Seder. During the week, I'll tell you, the third guy, send up the biggest guy. Finish, it's very easy. But now that you have a couple of aliyot, what's the proper order? So comes the Gemara and says, Lo Avebe Yadeh, he didn't have it, he didn't know it. Ata Vishayle, Rabbi Yitzhak Nafha, they went to ask Rabbi Yitzhak Nafha, Amaleh, Acharehen, which is after the Yisrael. Then if you follow the order as follows, after Kohen Levi, I'm sorry, after the Kohen Levi, on Shabbatot, you follow the following order. Korin, Tamidei Hachem, Memunim, Panasim, Al Sibur. First you put the great people. Those are the ones that became the Panas Al Sibur. Panas is the leader. Leader of him means, according to what we learned in Masechet Shabbat, who is that way to be a leader? When Klai said that you ask him a question in any place in Torah, and he's able to answer. So that's the one that gets the first aliyah, right? The next one is maybe ones that didn't actually get the job, but are worthy to get the job. The children of the panas l'sibur. So you see, there's anyan of zechut avot. His father is the panas l'sibur, so he gets the aliyah. As well, the Harein, the Sheikh Knesiot. The Sheikh Knesiot is the leaders of the congregation. Either the ones that give out the Aliyot, or those are the ones that take care of the Surche Sibur for the Kahal. Bechol Adam. And then everybody comes after that. So that is the order of the Olim. However, the Mepharsim point out is when you're inviting. But if you're selling, then selling anybody that buys it, Kol HaKodem, that's what the Levush says over there. Or, for example, let's say there's a Hayuv, Hatam Bar Mitzvah, there's a Hatan, or something like that. And, of course, they take precedence in order to give them the Aliyah that's befitting for them. Comes the Gemara, says, Shalchu Lebene Galil, Rabbi Chelbo. They sent to Rabbi Chelbo, Ma'o Lekrot, Mechumashim, Bebet Knesset, Besibur. Oh, you allowed to read with the Chumash in the Bet Knesset in Sibur. What does it mean, Chumash? So look at the fourth line in Ashi. Sheyesh shekotvim them hamisha chumashim. Kol chumash yachad shalem le'atzmo. Chumash literally means like a chumash, a fifth. What they do is they write each sefer on its own klaf, right, its own scroll. Okay? Because sefrem ayu b'megillah, kasef Torah shelam, like a megillah. So whatever the sheila is, we're reading now, let's say, sefer devarim, right, Mishneh Torah. So I want to take a scroll, the Mishneh Torah scroll, and I want to use that as the reading for the Yisimud. Is that permissible? Or do you need to be a whole Sefer Torah? How does it work? So comes the Gemara and says, it wasn't such an easy question. It wasn't so pashut. He didn't have the answer. So comes the Gemara and says, Atav, Yishayle, Rabbi Yitzhak Nafha, Lo Ava Biyadim. Also, he didn't have the answer. Atav She'il B'Midresha. So he went to the B'Midrash, went to the Yeshiva. They asked in the Yeshiva, Upashtua Me'a. They learned it from this. The Amar of Shmuel Baruch Hu Amar of Yohanan Sefer Torah Shehaser Yiriyah Achat in Korimbo. Oh, you have a Sefer Torah that's missing one Yiriyah, one piece of part, one column. The right word, one column of its Sefer. You can't read it in the Sibur. And of course, you can't. Chumash is missing the other four. So if you're missing one column in a Sefer Torah, certainly if you're missing the other four Sefarim. What are you talking? There's no connection. Vilahi. Over there, the Sefer Torah is missing something. It's not complete. Here, it's not missing. Here, it's a full Chumash. Which is, you can say there's a difference if the Chumash itself is missing, so it's not a complete Chumash. It's not a complete Sefer Torah, I should say. Mashikin is a Chumash, whatever you intended to write, you wrote. And therefore, you're using it. So therefore, the Kaura, no Raya. Right? Something that's lacking is better than something that is complete, but just not full. Comes the Gemara and says, "The Mavrav is the Tarvayu." The Gemara answers from a different place. In Kodim b'Chumashim, the Bet Knesset Mishum Kavod Tzibur. Why? What do you mean Kavod Tzibur? It looks like the Aniim. Like you can't afford a Sefer Torah. You have to read from a Chumash. So it's not respect for the Tzibur that they have to read from such an item over there, as if they cannot afford a regular Sefer Torah. That's the way the Rashba understands the Kavod. Okay, comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Shadamit Arvayu, Hai Sefer Aftarta. Okay, now we're talking about reading the Haftarah. Now we know there was a custom instituted at the time of the Goyim were persecuting the Jewish people that they did not let us read Sefer Torah. So what they did was they instituted that we'd read something from the Nevi'im. Now usually the Haftarah would be similar to the same theme of the Parashat HaShavua. And then after the Gezerah was over, they didn't break the Takana of reading Haftarah. They kept reading the Haftarah. The question is, what was the Takana? How do you read it? Do you have to read it on a parchment? Could you read it from a Chumash? Can you have to read it from a scroll? What's exactly the rules? So it says, the Mavra Mishra Mitar Vayu, Hai Sefer Haftarta. This Sefer that's written the Haftarot, Asur Lemikre B'Shabbat. Oh, you cannot read it on Shabbat. You cannot read Sefer Haftarot on Shabbat. So we have to see what this means over here. So comes the Gemara and says, what's the reason? My tama, delo nitan lekatev. Right? Because you're really not allowed to write it. What does it mean not allowed to write it? We have a general rule that when you're writing the Sefer Haftarot, or for that matter, a Navi, you have to write a complete Sefer. Sefer Shemuel Navi. You have to write the full Sefer. You can't just write Kitaim from the... And since you're not allowed to write it, so therefore, the book has you know that to read it. What's the logic with that? So the Mefarshim you say over here, it doesn't have a din of Kitvei Kodesh, and therefore we have a general rule that anything that's supposed to be written that you're reading Baal Peh is asur. Torah Bichtav has to be Bichtav. Torah Baal Peh has to be Baal Peh. So this is, since it doesn't have a din of Kitvei Kodesh, it's not like it's written. Therefore, it's as if you're reading it Baal Peh. And the varim shebichtav iata rashay lekodvam al peh. So therefore, amazing halakha. You have a sefer haftarot, just with a couple of paragraphs, let's say, whatever it is, a couple of stories from the Navi. It's written on the parchment and all that. You can't read it on Shabbat, it says. Why? Because it's not the only talikatev. It's really, you weren't supposed to write it. So comes the Gemara and says, Mod barav Hashem al taltulena me'asur. Well, once already you can't read it, it's mukseh. You're not even allowed to move it. My tama, that law has in the mikrebe. So once already it's not ready to read from it, so there's no purpose to this sefer. So if on Shabbat, in a mikrebe, it's also going to be mukseh. So the Gemara says, Ve'elahi, that's not so. It's not the right halakha. Why? Shari l'tiltule v'shari l'mikrebe. You can move it on Shabbat. You can even read from it. Why? Rabbi Yochanan v'Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish me'ayine b'sifrat de'agata b'shabeta. Forget about Haftarah for a second. These rabbis over there would study Sefer Agadot. They would study the stories of the Talmud and things like that. Agadot, the Agadeic part of the Torah. They would study on Shabbat. What do you mean? They would have it in scrolls. I thought the Torah Shabbat Alpeh is Torah Shabbat Alpeh. They're not allowed to read it, but they use these scrolls and they learned from them on Shabbat. Oh, so what's the explanation? What do you have to say how they learned Agadah? Ela kivan delo efshar. What do you have to say by the Talmud, or for example, by the Agadot? You originally had it be done by heart. And you're right, you're not allowed to study things that are supposed to be written by heart in writing. But what? No, Efshar. People's minds got weaker, their memory got weaker, they weren't able to remember all the information. So what did they do? They were matir them to write it down in order to read it. So for the same etir that the rabbis were reading Agadah, mitoch ha-sefer on Shabbat, ha-chaname, here also, by the sefer haftarot, kevan de'i efshad, Because what are you going to say now? Each person has to have their own full Navi? It's not always possible that everybody can have a full copy of the Navi. Ela what? You have a keta, a piece of the Navi'im. Et ma'asot la'ashem eferu turatecha. Which means when there's a need for God, eferu turatecha, even allowed to even, let's say, break the law in order to do such a thing. Now, in our times, we don't have the, not everybody has a full sefer haftarot. So the custom is they read it from the chumashim. They read it from a book, which is also a keta from the Navim itself. So the Nevush, he doesn't understand where we got this minhag from, but the Magen Avraham comes along and says that something that's printed, even though it's not on cloth, is considered as if it's written. So therefore you have the same et la'asot la'ashem, eferu toratecha. That what? That we have no choice today, because not everybody can find a regular sefer after that has the full verse. Ba'amin abayim rabba, ma'u lichtov megillah litinok litlamedba. New question. You're teaching a kid, a child. Okay, you want to teach a chumash. So what do you want to do? You don't want to write a whole sefer Torah to teach the kid. You want to take a keta from the sefer Torah, write it on parchment. You're teaching him out of parashat Bereshit. So you want to write sefer parashat Bereshit. That's it. And then we're in a class. I want to learn it from him. Are you allowed to write a Torah in keta'im, in pieces, to teach a child? So that's really the shet. So the Gemara says, well, we have a very famous machloka just in general, how the Torah was given. Let's review this machloka and then we'll see exactly how it has ramifications to us over here. Some say the Torah was given in pieces, which means as the event happened, the should have been wrote it down. Megillot, megillot, tichtivu. Megillot, megillot. Then at the end, he sewed them together and you had a Sefer Torah. Others come along and say, no. The Sefer Torah was all retained in Moshe Rabbeinu's head as things were happening. At the end, he wrote the whole thing in one shot and it was all considered one unit. So you get what I said. This question, can you write a Megillah, meaning a partial parasha for a child to learn? You can ask this question according to both opinions. Whether according to the opinion that says the Torah was given piece by piece, Megillah, Megillah, or you can even ask the question according to the opinion that says it was given in one shot. Not the Gemara is going to give you the two sides of the question. Tebai, the mandabar, Torah, Megillah, Megillah, Nitna was given in pieces. Kevad, Megillah, Megillah, Nitna, Kodvim. That was the Torah was given in pieces. Parashat Bereshit was written, and Noah was written, and they tied it together. So the same thing over here. I want to write for a kid. I can write one parashah at a time, no problem. Or Dilma, Kevan, Idvak, Idvak. Oh, I say, yeah, but at the end, They attach them together. Here, you're not attaching it together. Here, it's just one piece, which is eventually all those Megillot they wrote, eventually they sew them together, became one cohesive Sefer Torah. Here, you're not doing that. Now, go the other way. Now, I can ask the question that says it was given what? Hatuma meaning complete. Kevan the Hatuma is not in Kodvin. Right, since it was given a hatumah complete, so therefore you cannot write this Megillah for the Katar or Dilma, Kevan de lo Efshar, or maybe I'm going to come along and say, what is it over? You know, like I said, you're going to write a whole Sefer Torah for every single kid?
Possible.
It's not practical, and therefore, Kadvina. Maybe when it came to the way the Torah was given over, okay, you're giving it over, so you write it in one shot. I'm going to shake it over here for the kid, no Efshar, so therefore maybe we can have a leniency. Amade, so Rabbah tells Abaye en Kodvin. You can't do it. Right. So the Gemara says, what's the reason why you're saying that over there? So he says, Lefi she'en kodvin. What's the reason? No, my tama, he says, en kodvin. What the reason she'en kodvin? So he was saying like this, what are you holding? Is the reason that you're saying it over here because Torah hatuman nitna? Is that the reason? So since Torah hatuman nitna, you cannot read it. Therefore you can't write it in a small Megillah in a section. So he says, no, the fish ain't kodvim, you cannot write it at all, meaning even according to the opinion that says Megillah nitna, you still can't write it. He was asking, what's the reason? Is the obvious reason because you're Torah hatuman? No. Period. The fish ain't kodvim according to any opinion. See, even according to the opinion that says Megillah nitna, when it comes to the Soviet, we're not going to make a lenient to write it Zibifnei Atzva. That's the way that she understands the dialogue. We're going to see the fish and could be. Mm-hmm. She says, "Va'afidu leman da'amar Megillah, Megillah nitna." Kevan de'edvak, edvak. At the end of the day, they finished. They sold it together. Yeah. Once they sold it together, therefore you have no hetes. Because the Gemara says, "Etibe." So what are you talking? I'll bring you a proof that you are allowed to write the Torah in partial, you know, parashiyot. Afhi, that's referring to Himniha Malka. She was the queen. Astat tabla shel zahav sheparashat sota ketuva aleha. Besides the many things that Himniha Malka made, she made a gold tablet, and they wrote the parashat sota on this gold tablet. Very, very hashuv item. So the Kohen could use that tablet as the base where he would copy the parashat sota when he's writing it on the parchment. Yeah, but you see what? They're allowed to write a parashah. It's not even a whole parashah. It's a paragraph of the Torah, a section of the Torah, on this gold tablet over here. So you see, you can write parashah portions of the Torah outside the, you know, not in the full sefer. So comes the Gemara and says, "Amar Bishma Ben Akish, Bishma Bianai Be'alif Bet." She wrote it in the Shetevot, which means the Kohen really knew parashat sota about it. As the remembrance, she wrote the letter. Whatever the Shetevot of every word in that, right? She wrote it in an acronym, exactly. So therefore, she wrote an acronym. If you have no da'aya, really, you can't write a Sefer Torah, even a parashah on a klap. But what? She wrote the Shetevot just to give the Kohen a cue how to write. Yeah, what else is, what do you mean? We have a question. When the Kohen would copy Parashat Sota, he would look and write what's written on the tabla. Now, obviously, it was not written in the Shetevot. Must be the words were actually written. So that goes against, he looked at it and he wrote what was written on the tabla. So comes the Gemara and says, okay, don't be so literal. Doesn't mean he wrote exactly what's written on the tabla, not the tablet. He wrote the like what's written. He sort of said the word, and from there he looked at it, and then he translated it into words. I see another question. Rabbi, like, "Kishu kotev roe b'tabla v'kotev mash katu b'tabla umau katu b'tabla." Oh, what is it written on the tablet? Im shachav v'im lo shachav. What's what? It's giving you words. Which means, if you did it, if you didn't do it, Tosfot says that Im Shachav is not written. It says Im Lo Shachav Ishotach. But it's just giving you, for example, which means the Torah says in the Parashat Shota, Im Lo Shachav Ishotach. If nobody slept with you, then you'll drink these waters, and these waters will be. But it's clearly that there were words written on the Tabla. And that's the Kohen is copying. So what do you tell me was the Shetevot? Besirugin, which means in the beginning of each pasuk they wrote the word im lo shachav. Okay, then the rest of the pasuk was b'rashi tevot. So therefore, each pasuk started off with a word as a cue. That's the beginning of the pasuk, and then the rest of it was written in b'rashi tevot. So therefore, you still see that what they did not write even a small parasha on the klaf alone. So therefore, everybody would agree that to write parashat tevot would be mutar, and there were some words, but somewhere that's not writing a parashat ketana'e. The Gemara says actually, to write for a child who wants to study, it's a machloket tana'im, but you can write part of the Torah on the klaf of it. What's the machloket? And could be in migira letinuk letlamed ba'aviim da'ato lehashlim mutar, which means if your intention is that what eventually you're going to take this piece of part of it and attach it to a sefer Torah, okay, good, so you can write it because it's not going to remain. It's like the original sefer Torah. They wrote it, say, piece by piece, and eventually they tied it together. So therefore, if that's your intention to attach to a sefer Torah, no problem. Da'ato lehashlim, then it's mutar. Be'udah omer. בבראשית עד דור המבול בתורת כהנים עד ויהי ביום השמיני. למי יהודה כזאת נוסעת like this? When you're writing ספר בראשית, from the beginning of the ספר, you write until the story of פרשת נוח, which means that's the first בניין. פרשת בראשית, you write alone. Now, בתורת כהנים, when you're writing, let's say, ספר ויקרא, so it comes along, you write from the beginning of ויקרא עד ויהי ביום השמיני, because that's the whole subject, at least of the Korbanot, which means according to Tanakama, you can only write a Megillah unless you're intending to what? Attach it to a full Chumash. Could it be Yehuda? No, you're allowed to write as long as you write an Anyan Shalem. As long as you write a full subject. So in Sefer Bereshit, Parashat Bereshit is a full subject. Ready, Parashat Noah is a new item. That's the Mabun already. So you can write, you don't have to attach it, you don't have to do anything. As long as you write a complete subject. And by Yikra, you can't just write the Sefer Parashat by Yikra. You gotta write until Vahiba Yom Hashemini. Why? Because that's one anyan. That's anyan of the korbanot. But what do you see according to Rabbi Yehuda? You can write. You don't even have to attach it. Yeah. So we have a machloket tanaim. If indeed you're allowed to write a part of the Torah for the child, for the student, or whatever. I'm gonna be honest with you. Rabbi Bana'a. Torah migila migila nitna. Oh, now we're gonna bring the ayot. Was the Torah written piece by piece, or was the Torah written all one at one shot? So he brings an ayah. Torah Megillah Megillah is not proved. How do I know the Mizmah Megillah Megillah is not Shnei Emar? As Amarti, David HaMelech is talking. Hine Bati B'Megillat Sefer Katuv Adai. Which means David HaMelech over here was talking about over the Maaseh. They're referring to over after he killed Goliath. When David HaMelech went to kill Goliath, Shaul saw that he was going to be the king. Right? Shaul got nervous. Especially Doeg Adomi came along and challenged the Shaul and said he's not worthy to be not only the king but not even Jewish because his mother comes from Moab. Moab. Torah says we cannot accept any Moabi people. So they try to posel him from coming to the Kahal. Okay, so what happened? David HaMelech Alav HaShalom, he brought a proof that while from the Torah that he was okay. Why? Because the Pasuk says by the daughters of Lot when they were saved from Sedom, it says that God saved not only Lot, but his daughters and Nimsaot, that were found. So what do you mean that were found, the Nimsaot? So the rabbis come along and say that what? It's Pasuk also says, Matsati David Avdi. I found my servant David. So where was David found? And Nimsaot was found in Sedom. Which means and Nimsaot, because they had a Mitziah that was going to come from them. Who was going to come from them?
David.
So David HaMelech, when he saw that pasuk in the Torah, that it called them Sa'ot, as if they had, the reason why they called them Sa'ot, because something was going to come from them, a Mitzi'ah. So he said, oh, that must be, I'm okay. So David HaMelech says, when Doeg tried to posel me, as Amarti, I said, in Ebati b'mgilat sefer katub alai. The Megillat Sefer, means the Torah is written about me. When the Torah talks about the daughters of Lot and them Sa'ot, the daughters of Lot had children. Who was the daughters of Lot's children? Amon and Moab. That was their note. So therefore, Nimsaot, which is I was found in Sedom. And therefore, but you see what? The Torah is referred to a Megillah. The Megillah Sefer Katuv Alai. Look at that. She says, as Amarti. Nice. Kach Amar David. As Amarti. Kesh'iru Alai Shaul V'doeg Neposleni. When they challenged to posel me, Melavo Bekaal. So I'm coming into the Kaal. The כך אמר דוד, אז אמרתי, כשערערו עלי שלו ודוח בפוסטר מלבוא בקהל, והוא עד בבית המדרש עמוני ולא עמונית, כדאמרין הבי במות, הנה באתי, עכשיו באתי לכלל, I came back into the fold, כתוב עליי, מאז נתנה תורה, הוזכרתי, ואת שתי בנותיך נמצאות, פועלות. בזכות דוד שעתיד לשאת מרות המואביה ונעמה עמונית עם מות של רחבעם, בזכות of the people are going to come out, נמסעות are going to come out of the daughters of Lot, that's what they got saved. אחר, it says, נמסעות, וכתיבה אתם מתארים, מצאתי דוד עבדי, על מה? בואו נסיף מי, anyway, מגילה, אקלים, משום, מתחילה נכתבה מגילה בראשית, ועד על מגילת נוח, ועד על מגילת אברהם, שנכתכה, והיינו תקווה מגילת אברהם, כתוב עליה, which means he said, in the מגילה of Abraham, which means in the scroll that talks about Abraham, I'm right over there, because that's the story of Sedom. So you see why there was Megillot, Megillot. So he says, Megillat Sefer, in that scroll of Lech Lecha, I'm not mentioned over there. So you see why the Torah was actually written in pieces, and then it was attached together. But Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish said, no, Torah Chatuma Nitzah. It was written in one time. Instead of being scrolled the whole thing, he didn't write it in pieces. Shnei Emar, because the Pasuk says, when Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to the Levim, Lakowach, it's Sefer HaTorah HaZeh. The fact that it's a Sefer, Sefer is a complete item. It's one item. So therefore, you see, what should have been refers to the Torah as a Sefer, one cohesive book. Therefore, you see, it was given like that. According to Rabbi Yohanan, that says the Torah was written Megillah, Megillah. Haketiv Lakoach, meaning take the Sefer. What does he do with the word Sefer? Ha'ul batad de'ed back. If they sewed it together. It means it was written, everybody agrees, eventually it became a cohesive unit. So when it says Sefer, it means after they
if it's completed,
they sewed it together, they take the Sefer. Oh, V'idach, the Mekotrish Takish, I can't think of Sefer Katuva Alai. What does he do with the fact that it says Megillot, that was written as a scroll? Which means that's just teaching another item. The whole Torah, forget about each parasha, the Torah in its entirety is called a Megillah. דכתיב, ויאמר אליי, מה אתה רואה? ואומר, אני רואה מגילה עפה. This is what Zechariah הנביא. So God said, what do you see? He said, I see a Sefer Torah floating. מגילה עפה זה Sefer Torah floating. You see what the Torah is called a? מגילה. Iname, or I can say another interpretation. Rabbi Levi. Now, Rabbi Levi, Rabbi Levi is going to say like this. Generally speaking, the whole Torah was written in one time, except on one day, which is Yom HaKamat HaMishkan, eight parashiyot were written separately. So therefore, there was actually eight Megillot. Then at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the whole Torah, he wrote up until that parashah, connected that Megillah, then continued writing up to the next item, added that Megillah, and so on and so forth. The whole Torah was not written parashah, but eight sections of the Torah were written separately. What are these eight parashiyot? So go to Amar Levi, Shemona parashiyot ne'emru beyom shukam bo ha-mishkan. There were eight parashiyot that were written on the day that the Mishkan was completed. Wow. That's what's Chodesh Nisan. The Elu, and again, all these parashiyot that were written, obviously were nogeya to the subject of the Mishkan. Parashat Kohanim. Okay, well, obviously that's the subject of the Kohanim. What does it mean, Parashat Kohanim? The Isur of Tumat Met for the Kohanim. The laws of marriage, when it comes to the Kohanim, whether they're allowed to marry or not. The laws of Ba'alum, that you cannot work in the Beit HaMikdash. So therefore, it was said on that day, because the Kohanim started to work in the Beit HaMikdash. So we need to know the law. Yeah. Okay, Parashat Leviim, that's in the Tahara of the Leviim, and they had their separation from serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some say Parashat Leviim is referring to the laws of Ma'asir. Rashi does not accept that interpretation, because he says Parashat Ma'asir would not be called Parashat Leviim. It would be called Parashat Ma'asir. And anyway, Ma'asir did not start until they came into Eretz Yisrael. So why would it be given in the day that the Mishkan was written, or was established? So therefore, Parashat Leviim is referring to the laws of Taharat Leviim. Parashat Temeim, that's talking about Korban Pesach, which means that people that became Tameh, they want to bring Korban Pesach, which is on that day, once they established the Mishkan already, so now already you had the three Mahanot. Now already the three camps were established. Now whoever was Tameh had to go out of the camp. You had Mahaneh Shekhinah, that's where the Mishkan was. You had Mahaneh Leviyah, you had Mahaneh Yisrael. So now all of a sudden they said, all the people that are Tameh, you got to send out of the camp. So they came along and they started asking, hey, what do we do with Korban Pesach? So on that day, the law of Pesach Sheni was actually given. Now, according to this, you have to say that the people who wanted to bring Korban Pesach Sheni came on the Chodesh Nisan, they didn't have to bring Pesach Sheni. Because technically, he had 2 weeks before Pesach for them to purify themselves. Right. And the Pesach was given for those people that were not able to purify themselves. And on that day, God said, okay, you have a second makeup day in the 14th of Iyar. Good. Shiluach Temeim. That's sending out the Temeim Stam from the Machaneh. That's the people that are Tameh. Once again, the Mishkan was established, so the people were Tameh to go out of the Parashat. Acharemot, also the parashah Acharemot was also, what's that over there, after the death of the children of Aaron, which means the Torah came along and said, the Al Yavo Bechol Et El HaKodesh, the law of Kippur, that teaches us what, the only day that the Kohen Gadol goes to the Kodesh Kodeshim is on Kippur, even though it wasn't Kippur that day. But since the children of Aaron died when they went into the Kodesh, those laws were also given on that day. Parashat to Yayin. Okay, because we know the children of Aaron drink wine that day, according to one opinion. Therefore, God gave the laws of that Kohanim cannot drink wine when they go to the Beit HaMikdash. Uparashat Nerot, that's the lighting of the menorah, which was also given on that day. That's when Aaron started to light the menorah. Uparashat Para Adumar talks about making the ashes of the Para Adumar in order to purify a mit, which means the day after, the second day of Nisan, that was the first time that they burnt a Parah Adumah, so in order that the people come in the Korban Pesach, they had to start the process, because they just got the law of Korban Pesach Sheni. So therefore, the law is, or regular Pesach, so therefore, the law of Parah Adumah was given on that day as well. But what do you see? Eight Parashiyot were written separately. So even according to the opinion, it says Megillah, that was Hatumah, that was given in one cohesive unit, but there was eight scrolls that they had, and when they came eventually to finish it up, they just added it to the larger Sefer Torah. Comes to give us Amar Bila Azar. Okay, now we get another anyan over here regarding the Torah. Had the Torah rov bichtav umi'ut alpe shnei emar echtov lo rube torati kemozan nechshav. We're discussing over here the laws of the Torah. So Rabbi Azar says the majority of the laws of the Torah are in the Torah itself, in the Hamisha Chomshei Torah, and you can extrapolate it using one of the 13 principles of extrapolating laws from the Torah. Whether it's a Kal Vachomer, whether it's a Gezer HaShavah, whether it's a Hekesh, there's different ways, the 13 principles, that you can draw out halachot. The Torah, so he says, really the majority of the stuff is in the book itself, and you just have to draw it out from the principles. However, mi'ut al-peh, the minority of the laws were written al-peh, which means they have a remez in the Torah, but they're not written explicitly. Shne'emah, like the pasuk says in Hosea, ichtov lo rube Torati, which means I'm going to write, God says, the majority. When the majority is written, kemozad nechshabu, which means the simple interpretation of pasuk is that Avi was saying, should I write more laws in the Torah? Even the ones that I wrote already are strange to the people. Now, I should add laws, but according to what we're saying over here is, he says, no, ichtov lo rube Torati. I'm going to write the majority of the laws down. So comes the Gemara answers Rabbi Hanan Amar, the opposite. Rov ba'al peh. The majority of the laws really is in Torah ba'al peh. It's not really written in the Torah itself. Umi'ut b'chtav. The minority is written. But you have it in Mazim. Okay, Shnei Amar, ki al piya devarim ha'ele. When God gave the Torah, right, so God said, I made a covenant with the Jewish people. And the covenant was made on what? Because he accepted the Torah. Which Torah? So it says, ki al piya devarim. The Torah that is studied, al-peh. And therefore, must be that's in Kar Torah. And therefore, if God made the covenant, he made it on the Torah of the al-peh that studied the al-peh. So if Rabbi Yohanan says, must be that the Ikar, al-achot, or really the al-peh, not explicit, not the Sefarot of the rabbis, nor that from the Gemara. So that's the Ikar. V'idach nameh ketim ichtov lo rube Torati, which means, according to Rabbi Yohanan, we have a pasuk in Hosea, ichtov lo rube Torati. So I'm going to write the majority of it seems it's written. Ha'u at muhe kamatma. Ichtov lo rube Torati. Halo kemozan yachshavu. He says, no, we didn't quote the pshat. The prophet is coming to say, should I write more than the Torah? Ichtov lo rube Torati. Halo, whatever I wrote, even is strange to them. So therefore, I'm not going to write more in the Torah. See, therefore, you see, don't learn that pasuk literally. Ichtov lo rube Torati. It's rhetorical. Ichtov lo rube Torati. What, you think I should write the majority in writing? Even the little that I wrote is not being followed. Okay, what's that? Yachshavu. Good. Oh, v'idach nameh, koit Rabbi Elazar. Ah, haketiv ki al piya devarim ha'el. Why would God make a covenant on the minority of Torah? It says he made a covenant al pi on the Torah al pi. Must be that's the majority. He says, no, ha'u mishum ditkifu lemigmirinu. Because it's much harder to learn Torah al pi. And therefore, God says, listen, even though the majority of the laws are written in the Torah, and you can extrapolate it from the Yud Gimel and Karim, but to learn the Sefarot, the logic, and the other laws as well, it's much harder to learn Torah, Shema Alpeh. So God said, the covenant that I'm going to make with you is from the Torah, Shema Alpeh. Which is when you study Torah, Shema Alpeh, that's where we have the Beracha. But in a Kanameh, the majority is written in the Torah itself, but the covenant with the Amilut of it comes in the Torah Shema Alpeh. So therefore God says the covenant is going to be from the Devarim that are Alpeh. Dadash Rabbi Yehuda ben Nachmani meturgemane Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Rabbi Yehuda ben Nachmani, the interpreter of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, said, Ketiv, it says in the Pasuk, Ketov lecha et Devarim ha'ele. One Pasuk says what? Ketov. Write the Torah. Uchtiv ki alpi ha'devarim ha'ele. Suppose the Torah is Ba'al-peh, make up your mind. Ha-ketzat, devarim shebichtav, yatar ha-shay le-omran al-peh, devarim shebaal-peh, yatar ha-shay le-omran bichtav. What he was saying is, the stuff that's supposed to be written, write. Don't study it by heart. Rashi bichtav, you don't do it by heart. You do it from the writing. And the stuff that's supposed to be ba'al-peh, do not put it in writing. Which means over here, each section of Torah has to be given over according to the way it is supposed to be given over. Comes and goes to the Rebbe Ishmael. Now we learn to the Yeshiva Rebbe Ishmael. Ha'et, it says the Pasuk, Ele. Right, it says, Ketov lecha et devarim ha'ele. So what do you mean? Write these items. So he's Doresh. Ele atakotev, yatakotev alachot. You cannot write Torah Shema Alpeh. From the word Ele, he learns it. Amar Yohanan lo kara ta kadosh baruch hu berit em Yisrael ela b'shvid devarim sheba'al peh. Oh, you see how important the Torah sheba'al peh is. All the berachot and all the blessings and the covenants that God made with the Jewish people when it comes to Torah, it's referring to the study of Torah sheba'al peh shene emar ki al pi devarim ha'ele karati etecha berit ve'et Yisrael. So you see that is the ikar limud Torah Shabbat. Why? Because we need to say because it's the hardest part. That's the Amelut. And also because it gives the Sevarot, give the understanding of the Torah itself. Now we learned in the Mishnah, Me'arvin bebayit yashan mipnei darkei shalom. We learned that what? You're allowed to make an eruv in a house, but you're not supposed to change the house. Which means if they made the eruv in a certain house, eruv chasur, they have 10 houses in the chatzer, right? So when you have to take bread, you keep it in one of the houses that combines all the houses so they can carry. So what happened over here, now let's say either the guy died or they want to decide now that they have to renew the eruv, the bread spoils, whatever it is, right? They want to put the eruv in a new house. We said, no. You got to keep the eruv in the same guy's house. Because of the darkei shalom. Now, we don't know what the darkei shalom is exactly yet. We're going to see. Kevod says, my ta'ama, ilima mishum kevod. Maybe you'll tell me, kevod, it's offensive. You're keeping it in his house every year. That wasn't they change it. You're sliding the guy. So Gemara says, shipura. There was a certain anyam that we learned in the halacha in the olden days on Arbis Shabbat. They used to blow the shofar. What did they blow the shofar on Arbis Shabbat? In order to remind the people that Shabbat was coming, so they would blow the shofar. So the Gemara says, shipura. There was a certain shofar they used to use on Arbis Shabbat. The hava mi'ikara ber of Yehuda. Initially, the shofar used to be in Rabbi Yehuda's house. That's what they used to keep the shofar. It was Rosh Hashimah Popedita. Ulbesof, after Rabbi Yehuda died, they moved it from his house, they brought it to Rabbah's house, Be'rabah. Then when he died, Ulbesof, Be'rab Yosef. Ulbesof, Be'abaye. Ulbesof, Be'rabah. Now again, if you tell me it's in Yerab the Kavod, the first one, leave it in the first house. It's not a family. So leave it in the house. What are you moving the Shofar from one family to another family? If it's in Yerab the Kavod, it's offensive. It was by them, the first rabbi. Ela mishum hashada. Oh, the inyan of the eruv is a different concept. We're concerned about. We're not worried about kavod. I'll prove you're not worried about kavod. The shofar of erev Shabbat they used to move from house to house. Here you're concerned about suspicion. What's going to happen? Everybody knows the eruv is in Mr. A's house, and therefore what it's carrying. I'll say it based on that. Also, one year they decide, you know what? We're going to move from Mr. A's house, put it in Mr. B's house. Now you have a guy who doesn't know anything.
Okay.
He goes to Mr. A's house. Hey, where's the eruv? It's not by me. He sees everybody carrying. Oh, what's going on there? But it's carrying on. There's no eruv. So therefore, in order to get them away from suspicion that the people will think that there's no eruv and they're carrying, they kept it constant. They kept it in the same house. But they know what's kavod. It's in yana. The people will not get confused and think that there's carrying over here without an eruv. Comes the Gemara and says, and that all of a sudden will come to fight. That's what it's tekanat shalom. What happened? Hey, you're carrying. What are you doing over there? Fighting. And there's no eruv. Then that's going to come to a midiba. Comes again when I continues. Bor shukarov la'amak. We get to the case of the Mishnah like this. We said, well, you have a stream of water. In the olden days, what they used to do? Stream of water, they used to divert the stream to the fields. Right? So the fields would get the irrigation. Mm-hmm. What they also would do was they would dig wells next to their fields. In order that it would fill up the well, but just in case the stream dries up, they have a storage in the well itself. So we learned in the Mishnah that it said, who gets to fill up? The way they filled up the well was they would stop up the river, right? They would block it up. So now the water would all go into the overflow into the bore. Okay. Then after he finished, they would unclog it and go to the next guy. So who goes first? This is the guy closer to the river, the field that's closer to the river. He's able to fill up his board first. Then he opens up, and then the next guy goes. They go, down the line. So comes in board to cut up the ama. He goes first because of that kish. So otherwise, he's going to fight. Hey, what are you closing the river for? I want that. We go in order. Itmar, bene nahara. Regarding to people that live on the riverbank, okay. So he learns tata'a, that the people further away drink first. No, the ones that are closer to the river, I guess you have the river over here on top, right? And it's closed down. So you have lands over here, lands under it. So if mahloket, when they're trying to divert the waters, who goes first? So the first lav comes along and says that you go to the bottom fields first. And according to Shmuel says go to the top, which is the ones that are closer. So the Gemara says, what are we talking about over here? What's exactly the case? B'demezal, if we're talking about over here, where the water just flows, where you don't have to draw water. Mm-hmm. It's just a flow of water. There's no machloket over there, which means if you're just drawing water, so there's no machloket. Let everybody go. Draw. The first guy that goes to the, you don't have to block the river.
First come, first serve.
If everybody just takes a bucket and goes to the river and takes water and goes to their field, then you're not hurting anybody in that case over there. So it doesn't matter who's first, who's second. You're not clogging the stopping it. So therefore, we have to go and draw. There is no machloket in such a community. Even in a small river, the Hadush is, where maybe you'll say that when one guy's drawing with his bucket, he's slowing down the current and that over there. It's still okay. Okay? Now, no pelik, keep pelik. What's the machloket then? Bimiskar v'ashkuyu. Where they have to clog up the Nahar in order to do, which means there's not enough water, let's say, for everybody at the same time. So what do? They clog it up, they divert it to their field. So now the question is, hey, the guy's waiting downstream for the water. This guy upstream came along, blocked it, diverted it to his field. Who goes first? Do you let the guys further away or closer? So Shmuel Amar, en la'esh atubaya b'resha, da'amre anam mekalbim tefeh. They come along and say, we're first. We're the closest to the water over there, so therefore we have rights. The Rav Amar, the Esh Tumei Abresha, the Rav says, no. The guy's further away. The Amre Nara Kepeshte Lizil, which means, let the water come down. Let the water flow down. Which is, you're stopping it on top. Let the water go naturally down. If you let the water go all the way down, it'll come to our fields. Which is because you're blocking it on top, you're stopping it. But really, if you go into the natural way of the river, what happens? The water goes all the way, come right to us. So therefore, we want to divert it to thou fields first. So that's the machloket. Each one has a good claim. Okay, yeah, I'm the closest here, by the way. So I get first the rights. The other guy says, hey, what are you doing? You're blocking it now. So therefore, it's turning or making a right to your field. Let it go normally. It'll come to us first. So therefore, we're closer. Because when you let it go down, it ends up. It ends up by us. That's two ways of looking over there. So now, okay, so good. So therefore, we made it. We have a machloket over who really goes first, which means really each one has a claim. But the rabbis, they couldn't. They had to make a choice. So one rabbi said that the top guys go first. One guy said that the bottom. Really, they all agree nobody has a better claim. But so they don't come to fight. So they had to be posek. Okay, you top guys go first, or the bottom guys go first. So the Gemara says Tenan. So we have a machloket at Rav and Shmuel. So now we're going to bring a ra'aya or a question from our Mishnah. Tenan bor karov le'amma. Oh, our Mishnah. You have a bor. Okay, a pit. They want to fill the pit. Right? Karov le'amma. The guy closest to the amma, mitmale rishon mipnei darkei shalom. So what do you see? That's the ayah to the opinion of Shmuel. You see the closer one goes first. They weren't talking about a bor, Rabbi right. Shmuel. They were just talking about diverting the river directly to the fields. But we can bring an ayah from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah was talking about the guy's a bor. Why do you have a bor? They would dig a bor to fill the water into his bor. Just in case the river dries up, they could use the bor now as storage. So who fills the bor first?
The guy close to the
river. So the Mishnah said the guy closer. Oh, that's an ayah to Shmuel. Question against that. Right? So Gemara says, look at the honesty here. Targema Shmuel aliba derav. Shmuel says, no. Don't ask on that from that over here. I can answer for that, even though they bring an ayah for him. But he can't really do that. Not intellectually honest. I'm going to bring it out. Yeah, Rav's okay from that Mishnah. Why? Be'ama mitalechet al pi boro. Which means, there, I'll tell you, the case is, you don't have to lock up the waters. There, I'll tell you, the water flows over, like, next to the board of the first guy. So, therefore, everybody will agree, if you don't have to lock up the river to divert it to the board, so let him go first, which means maybe you have to make a little diversion, but you're not going to stop the flow of the water. So if we have no problem with you, then machloket Rav and Shmuel was talking about what? Were you hurting one guy to fix
and
yourself?
If it's
the
other guy, yeah.
He in the Mishnah, no, the guy closer goes first because you don't have to lock the water. And they can still their flow might become a little diminished, but still, he's not locking the water. So he's not, you don't have to stuff it up. Okay. Comes again, what Rav says. So the Gemara says, it's a hadush. What's the hadush then? Of course, since you don't have to lock up the water, of course the guy that's closer will fill up first. So the Gemara says, שכר מסקר באשקה בהנדזה כמשמעלן, which means could be the bottom guys could come like this, hey, you're not locking up the water.
So now we understand.
Very good. But as a result of you diverting a little to your board, we're getting less. So you know what you tell them? Unlock your, unlock the board. Let the water flow down equally. Let each guy take his equal share. Sechar miskar, which means close your board so the water doesn't divert from the board because you take it away from the water and let it go down behindeza. Hindeza means equally. Therefore, you would have thought they could say that. Because you came along and she said, nah, the Mishnah's talking about it. You don't got to lock it up. You don't have to close the river. Which means, while this guy's filling his water on top, the guys on bottom are still getting water. So the Gemara, it's a pshita. Why don't you try to tell me that? No one's getting hurt over here. Well, they are getting hurt. They're getting hurt in the sense that the flow is not as strong
right.
when you're taken away to the board. So you would have thought that the guys down below could come along and say, hey, lock your board. I mean, we don't want you to divert to the board over there.
Right.
Say, what do you care? You're still getting water. We're not getting as much. Right, you're reducing the pressure.
Right.
That's the point. You're reducing the pressure. That what? It's okay. Since he's closer to the board, comes the Gemara says, "Amar Avuna bar Tachlifa, Ashta Delo Etman Elketa, Lo Kemor Velo Kemor, Kol Dalim Gevan." Which means we have Machloket Abba Shmuel. Back to the story. You have the water flowing down, right? Who gets to divert first? Now, when we're talking about diverting it, which means you're locking up the waters, so you get the flow going to the first guy. The guy's about to have to wait now. When he's finished,
next guy.
Now the next guy goes. So we had a machloket. Who goes first? Either the further people, logic being what? Hey, let the water go down in its normal way. Or the top people. Now, we didn't say what halakha is like. Machloket Rav and Shemus. You know what the answer is? Kodadim Galad. Whoever's stronger gets to do what he wants. Right? The stronger guy wins over him. What do you do? It's a fair machloket. So Kodadim, whichever guy is the stronger, the bully of the crowd, that's able to bully the other guy around, hey, listen, I'm locking. You want to start with me? I nothing. Each guy, whoever that. That's the rule. Kodadim.
Okay.
All right, they find it out. Now comes the Gemara and says the story. Interesting story over here to show you how they did this thing with the waters. Rav Shimi bar Asher atale kamed Abaye. Rav Shimi came to Abaye. Amar le lutban mor be'idna. Please, I want to learn with you. Give me a time when we can learn. He's asking Abaye, what's the time to learn? Amale itli idana le didi. He said, "Listen, I don't have time. The time that I set to sit and learn, I'm doing my own learning, so I really can't, teach you over there." Vilutban mor belilia. I guess maybe the day. Let me see what you're at night. Maybe at night you have more time. Amale itli mayal ashkuye. So I'm busy at night. I'm watering my fields, so I don't have a chance to learn at night. Really. I'm busy in the fields, watering my fields. Abaye talking. I'm a little, so Rav Shimi says, I got it, I'll make you a deal. Anna maskina le lemor maya bi baba. I'll water your fields during the day when you're learning. Vidutban mor bin elia, and you'll teach me at night. I'm a little haye. I'm okay, beautiful. No problem. My whole issue is I don't have time at night. You want to take care of my watering of the fields during the day when I'm doing my private learning? I'm free at night. I'll sit with you, no problem. So listen to what now Rav Shimi does to water Abaye's fields. Again, what does he got to do now? He's got to divert. Now, how do we divert? You got to close the stream up in order to get the water. Now, he doesn't want to wait because he wants to be free at night to learn. He doesn't want Abaye to come along at night. Did you water the field? No, it was closed. I'm waiting for the diversion. I'm waiting for my chance. Waiting for his chance, he's not going to be able to learn. So then he wants to guarantee that the water's going to get watered during the day without any interference from any of the other fields. So what did he do? Azal le'ayla. He went to the guys on top. The guys closer to the river. Amar lu tata'eshetu maya beresha. He said, listen, halachas like Rav, the people on the bottom go first. So please, could you do not block the river. Do not divert, please. Halachas like the bottom guys. Azal le tata'e. He went to the guys on the bottom. Amalu la'eshetu maya beresha. Please, Rabotai, halacha follow Shemuel. The guys on top go first, so please do not block the river. So therefore, the guys on top are waiting for the guys in the bottom. The guys in the bottom are waiting for the guys. So therefore, in the interim, nobody's blocking the river. And hey, what did he do? Sakhar Miskar Veshke. He blocked the river and he diverted his field. So therefore, he ruins them. He fooled them. You know, he wants to get the field done over here. Oh, he told the guys at the top, wait for the guys from the bottom. He told the guys at the bottom, hey, wait for the guys at the top. Alakha. So what was it? Which is, he fell. That's called Alim Gemar. Called Alim Gemar doesn't only mean the strongest guy. The smartest guy also called Alim Gemar. I figured out a way to get them over here. So, which is, he held that Ha'arama is also called the Alim Gevar. So, Kazi Gevarad says, Ki Atali Kamedah Bayeh. So, when Hashivi came in front of Rabbi, he told him what happened. Well, that's what I did to these guys today. Amar Le Kibet Re Avatli. What did you do? You follow two rabbis at the same time? Which means, you want to follow Rav. You want to follow Shmuel, but you did Rav and Shmuel sometimes. You told the guys on top, one rabbi told the guys on top. You followed two, which means you made the tricking over here. He didn't eat the fruit of the whole year, which means he felt this is not the movie so. He didn't like it. He didn't like this trick over here. Therefore, he was mahmir on himself. He had to say it was a chumrah, really, because according to the Ikadadin, he's allowed to do it over there. Which he didn't make any suit gezel over there. Worst comes to worst, he went against the Takarab the Hakamim. So therefore, technically, but Abaye was mahmir. He was hasid. I'm not eating from the fruit over here because it was done from a tree. Okay, one more story the Gemara brings over here. Now, to see this story over here, we have a diagram. The art school gives you a diagram just to understand the next episode in the Gemara. Gemara says a maaseh like this. Havihu b'nei b'chermach. There was a city called Chermach. See the fields? The fields are right in the center over there. The fields. Da'azul karu bereshat deshanvata. There was a river called the Shanvata River. Okay, that flowed right by the fields of Harmach. So what they do, you see by the top of the river, they diverted the river into like a canal that would go around their fields. Okay, so by the top of the river, they made like a little diversion into a canal that would go on top of their fields. Okay? The Azul Karu Beresha, the Shadbata. Right? They dug out on the top of the river. Vadiru Veshanyua Bishilhe Nara. And then they went and they diverted the water out so it'll come out into the river again. So you see what they did is it came from the top, went around their fields. Canada went around their fields, it flowed into the field itself, and then they diverted it back out into the river. So it started from the top, circumvented their fields, came right out again, and went back, diverting into the Nahar. Okay, so it was actually a diversion. So what happened? Atu en la'il kamid abayya. So the fields that were on top, and above, they came to abayya, va'amru leh, Kamatkil linaharin. This diversion over here is slowing down, obviously, the stream from the flow from coming down. And what is it causing over here? It's breaching the levee, exactly. Which means, what's happening? You're taking a lot of water, and they made these little canals over here, right? So the water's not going into the, it's flowing slowly into the canals over here because there's a lot of water. What's ended up happening, it seemed that the water was rising very high in these canals that they built, right? And it was going over the dam or the wall. And what was it doing? It was flooding their fields. The guys on top over here. Can you see me? It says Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, it was like a backup?
Right.
Slow down the current.
Slow down the current. So there's water coming in very fast into the pressuring. It can't slow down because it's not so wide. And it's not so deep. So what was the end of happening?
Backup.
Backup. What's that? Slowing over here. You guys flooding our fields, this guy. What did he do to us over here? He did a good thing for himself. But the guy didn't take us into consideration. So the rabbi comes along and says, Kamatkil linaharin. Which means... Right, he's slowing down the pressure of the Nahar, and as a result, it's overflowing over the canal into our fields. So he says, Amar lehu, kiru ba'adayu tfe purta, which means dig a little more in order that it'll go faster, which means
deeper.
Make it a little deeper. So therefore, it'll hold a little more. It'll go a little deeper. So it'll go faster. Widen it out a little or deepen it out. So therefore, you won't have a problem. No, we can't do that. Amrule kayev shepirin. If we're going to do that, it's possible that the fruits are going to dry up. What is it going to be? Which means when the river is not going to be, high, so what's going to happen is it's not going to go into the canal. When the river is high, it would divert into this canal because the canal was high also.
Full flood.
You're asking us to lower it. So what's going to happen is only when the what happens, I guess, during the dry season, the Nahar, the water level sinks. So then what's going to happen? It's not going to go in.
Yeah.
And therefore, what's going to happen? Our fruit's going to go in. Don't ask us to dig deeper the canal over here. Digging the canal is good now. Now it's good. When the high water, beautiful. It's going to flow in. Great. But shaking a low season there, when the water's low, so what's going to happen? It's not going to go in. Dry up, and our fruits are going to be
drained.
So comes again what Aaron says. He told me, you know something? If that's the case, you have a good claim. Amar lehu zilu saliku nafshaychu me'atam, which means close it up. Which literally means he told them, take yourself away from there. Close it up and let it go down the stream, which means their diversion is causing you a
problem.
Damage that you cannot fix. Look at that sheet. That she said, Amar lehu, bottom line.
Right.
He told B'nai Harmach.
Correct, to close it up.
Saliku nafshaychu. Get out of here, he told them. Pull yourself away, v'setmu et misivatechem. Close your diversion, because it is affecting the neighbors. Which means the way the diversion was, it seems, was a narrow diversion. Water's coming in. Now, the water flow was very strong. The pressure was strong. The movement is slow, because it's not so... What was that happening? Overflowing. So the guy, hey, our fields are getting flooded over from this guy. Why did he tell him called Alim Gavan? I guess that's it. Well, you're damaging somebody over here. It's time. You gotta wait till 1 o'clock, you go second, you go third. Here, yeah, you destroy my field. They came along, what's the problem? Go dig a little deeper. When they go deeper, what's gonna happen when the water pressure goes low? You gotta stop. Baruch Allah, Amen.